man. Think about serving a God that's never failed. You know, that's who we're serving, a God that's never failed, never made a mistake. That things in our life we don't understand, but God's in control. I'm thankful for the music this morning, thankful to Bruce and Talitha that came by. I'd mentioned to him the other day at a funeral up there, I said, now if y'all just happen to be by here on Sunday, we're going to need a pianist and an organist. Because I knew where they were going to be. We got a lot of folks out traveling around this morning, but I tell you, we're here, and I've come to worship and praise an Almighty God, you know. And it just sets me on, it just does something for me to hear people sing praise and give praise to God about the things they've done, He's done in our life. And, you know, wonderful song. I like that, The Anchor Holds. And knowing that a God that's never failed us. And then, you know, I get thinking about that God never fails or never lets us down, never disappoints us, really, you know, because His will is a major factor in our life and what we should be striving to do. And I thought about pleasing God, and Brother Don brought a good illustration this morning and before Sunday school about trying and doing the best we can. I know we're imperfect. I know that the day of perfection is not here yet, not come. But I know also what he said, that we're supposed to strive and try to do the best we can. You know, I had a thought. I walked out of the church out on Sand Mountain yesterday after the wedding, and I saw their sign. It said, if all members were as I am, what would our church be? You know, a little measurement up there on the wall. It's just posted out there on that church, and it was very simple. And I got thinking about, you know, as I traveled from there down to the reception and on through last night. Well, what if everybody was like me in church? What kind of church would we have? Well, one thing, everybody'd be talking a lot, wouldn't they? You know, we'd have to add some more pulpits in, I guess. But I get thinking about that, about serving God. And, you know, one of the things that I strive after in life is to go all the way. I've got a desire to finish this course, that I'll be found faithful and true to God the last day of my life. And to do that, you got to take it day by day. This don't come just overnight. You know, it's not a easy thing to stand up and say, but you take it day by day and you do the best you can. And I thought about, you know, just selling out and going all the way with Jesus. Now, last night I read about Jesus walking up the cross, up to Calvary Hill, bearing the cross, you know, and he was going to pay the sin debt for the sins of the world. And it talks some about the ones that followed. And, you know, I got thinking about the ones following Christ. How many of them went all the way up the hill? Or how many of them that the hill got a little steep and they turned back and said, well, I'm not going to go all the way. They're going to crucify him, but I don't have to go. But I want to talk about today that coming into this place of worship, this house of God, and when you leave, you go away with a different attitude and a change of heart that, okay, I'm going to go all the way with God. There's some times and some things in life that we just hold back, and we have these little strongholds in our life. Say, well, I'm going to submit everything but this to God, but I'm going to keep that. Well, God's not pleased and satisfied. When he has to surrender, he wants a total surrender. Let's look at Matthew chapter 19 just for a few minutes and read a situation of a young man that comes down to Christ. Now, this is a good thing when we know that we go to Christ and we look to him for our problems and trouble. And sometimes we go almost all the way. Well, I'm going to tell you, God wants all the way. He don't want almost. He don't want a partial. He don't want you to just do part way. But God's got a plan for us in life that we follow him regardless of everything else. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, good question asked by this young man. I wish the world was asking today, what have I got to do to have eternal life? I could tell them very plain, believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. It's pretty simple, you know. But when we come down to this point, a young man came down. He is wanting to seek. He wanted to have the promise of eternal life. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, we know that it's an impossible thing for us to keep the commandments, but I think we ought to be striving and trying to do the best we can each and every day. And so when he received this word in verse 18, he said unto him, which? So he wanted to make decisions about, I'm going to keep this part, and I'm going to keep this part, but I'm not going to worry about that part. You know, and that's the point some of us come in Christian life, that we want to submit this, this, and this, but there's these little things in life that we're going to hold out and we're going to hold on to. I could make a list of things that I've heard people say that they won't release or relent to God. And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Because he knew that he did not have this promise of eternal life. He knew within himself, he said, I've got something that's lacking. And he asked Jesus, he said, all these I've kept from my youth up, but yet I lack something. And so we see the point that he's kept part of what Jesus asked him to do. He's done partially what God would have him do in his life. There's so many of us as Christians today that have went part way with God, that have done partially what God asked us to do, that we've robbed ourselves of the blessings and the joy and the happiness and peace that God gives to his children when they come submissive to him and obey his will. There's a will of God for your life today. And we need to be searching and finding what God would have us to do and complete that course. Now this young man said, what do I lack? We find ourselves many times lacking because we hadn't completed what God asked us to do. You know, there's many things. And Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And so he adds this part to him, and he said, okay, here's the law, keep the law, follow what Moses gave to us, and then also I want you to come and follow me. He said, give to the poor and come and follow me. And there's so often times that people want to follow Jesus till it gets tough or it gets hard. I don't know how steep the hill was at Golgotha. I've never been there. But I know that it was up a hill, right? And when the elevation starts and the people start having to put a little effort walking uphill, I wonder how many turned back because of the grade that's walking up. If it had been flat ground or downhill, easy, everybody might have followed him right to the crucifixion. But I don't believe that took place. And verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I'm not going to get into the point about he loved his possessions more than he loved God, but I want you to know that's what took place. But I want you to think about the part that he went away sorrowful. And I thought how many times we went away sorrowful because we weren't willing to do all that God asked us to do. That we're willing to do part, we're willing to give this up, we're willing to do this, but when it comes down to truly selling out to God, going all the way, there's too many of us going away sorrowful because it'll bring sorrow, it'll bring sadness in our heart. And I thought about this young man going away sorrowful. And, you know, that's the thing I want to see least in a church, that people go away sorrowful. I want us to go out with our hand high, shouting and praising God because we've went all the way. You know, we've done what God asked us to do. And God's not going to ask you to do more than your ability. He just asks you to do what he's given you the ability to do. He'll even help you do it. That's an amazing thing of God. You know, he don't put something on you that you can't perform or can't take care of or be successful in. And so when we think about this young man going away sorrowful, I want to go to one other scripture about being submissive to God and doing what God asks you to do. In 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Y'all turn there with me just a minute. I'm going to read in verse 1 and selected other verses down through the scripture. In 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1 says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And you know, in one verse we get a description of a man that we're looking back to. And this is truly a man. He was there. And we're talking about Naaman, and he gives a description of a great man because of what he had done and the work he had performed, and a mighty man in valor, upright and whole. But right down at the bottom of the verse, it said, but he was a leper. And I got thinking about even all of us have some problem or some thing to hinder us from life and enjoying life the way God would have us to. And so this leprosy, I want you to understand, there's no cure for leprosy, not then and not now. And the only hope he had would be a healing from the mighty God. And so he began to hear the word about this. And verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him from his leprosy. Now I want you to think about who God's using to bring his word about healing to a man of great valor, a warrior, no doubt. And he talks about a little maid. Now, I hear people want to disqualify themselves from the Word of God. I can't do that. I just can't do this. I can't do that. I can't teach. I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't do that. I'm going to tell you, there's so many things that people disqualify themselves from the Word of God. I want you to see right here that this little maid carried away captive, I'm talking about a little young slave girl, made a difference in somebody's life. Now, you think where you're at and the opportunity God gives you, that you make a difference. I think that's what we ought to strive as Christians and a church, that when it's all over, said and done, somebody knows that, well, they made a difference. Made a difference in somebody's life. Naaman had a problem, had leprosy, he died. He had no hope. And all of a sudden, this little slave girl said, if he were down in my country, there's a prophet down there that'd heal him. You just think about the power of that. And he began to serve. That just stirred Naaman up. And the king of Syria sent him down. He sent him down with plenty of money and plenty of changes of raiment and several other things. Sent him down to this country, down to Israel, that he might be healed. And when he gets down to the point in verse 7, it said, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man does send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and how he seeketh a quarrel against me. This king of Israel, I'm talking about, and this represents the government, I think, in this day and time. If you're looking to the government to deliver you from our problem, we've got problems. And I'm telling you, when this king of Israel saw what had happened, he said he just wants to seek a quarrel. Who am I that I can kill or make alive? Who am I that can cure leprosy? And he was without hope in this. And so he thought, okay, he sent him down that he might have a quarrel and make battle with us. In verse 8, and it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. I just love this verse. Praise God for it, that Elijah stepped up, this man of God. He said, send him down to me that he might know that there's a prophet in Israel. He's not afraid. He trusts in the power of God. And when we start considering what he said, send him on down. It's no problem. It's just leprosy. This is just a case of leprosy. Elijah's seeing that, no problem whatsoever. God can heal leprosy. God can heal any problem that we can have if we'll have the trust in him. And so he just says, send him on down that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel. And he stands up and makes this case. And so verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. You know, he hears about this and he turns to God. Now he had went down to Israel. He had approached the king. The king said, I can't help you. The government can't take care of you. Now y'all understand this. This king of Israel had a problem. He said, I can't handle it as a king. And the government, which I represent, can't handle this leprosy. And the government is limited on what they can do. I'm telling you, God's the one that has the power. God says his church has the power, not the government. When we come to the point one day in time that we want ready to stand up and proclaim the power of God through the church, things will change. If nothing except the names of the politicians. Amen. So we go on down, and he goes down to the door of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, let's talk about following God. This seems like the simplest thing that you've ever heard in your life. He said, just go down and wash in Jordan, dip yourself 7 times, you're going to be clean. Sounds too good to be true, don't it? Did it remind anybody kindly about the promise of eternal life and salvation by the grace of God? Sounds too good to be true, that it's a free gift, that Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And so when Elisha sent a messenger out, he didn't go out. He didn't even put his face out the door. He just sent a messenger. He said, you go tell him. You go tell him, because it's going to be the power of God that heals him, not the power of Elisha. Now, see, I think that's why we have this verse to let us know this is not a healing. Elisha healed nobody. God heals Naaman. And so we don't need to be claiming credit for healing power or seeing things change. It's the power of God. We just need to be praising him more and more. And in verse 11, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. All this time, Naaman's out there and he's wanting something great. He's wanting some kind of elaborate ceremony or celebration to take place. He said, I figured he'd come out and call on the name of his Lord and strike his hand on the place where I had the leprosy to recover me. But that's not what took place, because Elisha knew it's the power of God, not the power of Elisha. And so Naaman, when he heard this, he said he was wroth. He was upset. If you've come just for the ceremony or celebration, let me tell you, God don't always work that way. Not always. Of course, this morning I was about ready to sweep me out of spot and have one of them fits, you know, when the power of God comes in. But Nathan was wroth and he went away. Verse 12, he said, are not Arbana and far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And I thought how close he is to being healed, yet he's mad and upset because he wants to do it his way. Now you notice this. This is Naaman wanting to do it his way. He said, I've got better rivers in my own country than they've got in Israel. He said, what's so special about this river? And it's not that special. And so he decided, I want to do it my own way. You know, there's a lot of people who want to be saved in their own way. A lot of people want to go part way with Jesus. Part way won't get it done. A lot of people want to work part of the way with God and say, okay, God, now I'm going to submit this and this and this, but leave that alone. That's mine. I'm going to keep that little part. I'm going to keep that to myself, you know. And so Naaman was wroth. He didn't get a celebration. He didn't get a ceremony. And he wants to do it his own way. And I know a lot of times people want to be saved. They want to be right with God in their own way. But we're going to do it God's way or it's not going to happen. St. John chapter 6, verse 44 is very plain. It said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. All these people tell me I'm going to get right with God when I'm ready. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. It all smells like smoke. It's straight out of the devil's lair, because it's not when you get ready. It's not when you decide I'm going to get prepared and right with God. It's when God leads you by the Holy Spirit that's sent to us today and condemns you and convicts you and says you need to change this in your life, that you'll be willing to go all the way with God. I'm hoping some people walk all the way with God before we're done here today. That they, whatever they've held back on, whatever they resisted God, they're going to say, I give it up, I submit, I surrender, and by that you can win a victory. And so he decides, I'd like to do it my own way. In verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? But how much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? And I'm thankful that we've got people around us to help us understand God's will for our life. This servant goes back and he said, if it had been some great thing he'd asked you to do, said, you'd have done it. But said, now that it becomes this simple, said, you don't trust God. Well, we need to trust God and do what He asks us to do in this life. And so in verse 13, it comes down to that point. In verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan. Now notice this, seven times. How many times did Elisha say dip yourself? Did he say seven? He said seven, right? Naaman had an opportunity to quit any time. I can imagine a situation down there in Jordan River. Here's this man with leprosy. You know, he's dying. He's on his way out. And all of a sudden, this prophet said, just go dip yourself in the River Jordan seven times and be clean. And so he's down in the river, and you know, he goes down the first time, comes up, he's still got leprosy. Oh, by the way, it didn't do anything. It didn't change one thing except he got wet. The second time down, he comes up, he's still got leprosy the third time. Now, about then is when people start distrusting and unbelieving God. You know, they say, well, this stuff's not working. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to give it time and fulfill what God asks you to do. I can imagine, I can see him down in the river splashing the water, coming up. Can you imagine this man seeking a healing cure of leprosy down in the river? Four times he's down. He's down and he's back up. I've still got leprosy. This ain't working. Five times, still leprosy. And a lot of times we went four and five times, but we hadn't made the final dip that God asked us to do as Christians, His sons and daughters, that He's asked us. And I just imagine, here's Naaman, he's down six times, he's on the water, he's back up, still got leprosy. If you went that close to being healed or being perfected by God, I'm going to ask you to take the seventh dip and trust God in it. That's where it needs to be. Can you imagine old Naaman going down that seventh time? He comes up and hallelujah, he's healed because he was faithful to do what God had asked him to do seven times. Not five, not four, not three, not two, not one, not even six won't do it. But if you've come that close to what God would have you to do, this morning may be time, your seventh time down that God said, do this and be clean and be healed. And it's spiritual, it's physical. God can take care of it, whatever it may be. But I'm talking about selling out, going all the way with God. Not stopping short of what He wants you to be. And He's got a plan for all of us. Everybody, when they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, receive the job to go with it. I believe that with all my heart, according to the Scripture of God. And there's somebody I believe that God sent a message to today. You've come this close. You've come that close to being what God wants you to be and following God and with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, just selling out and say, God, I'm going to do this and follow you. As Naaman went down that seventh time and came forth, I mean, clean. You just think about that, clean, because he did what God asked him to do. All I'm preaching to you today is you do what God has asked you to do, whatever it may be. I don't know. I know what God asked me to do, and I try to do that, but I don't know what God's asked you to do, where he wants you to be, but he wants you to be totally committed. You've went away disappointed too many times. If you'd stand, there's somebody here that God's dealing with, and that if you would stand and be truly truthful, you'd have to say, too many times I've walked out of the church, and just as the man that said, I can't do that part of it, I've done all these, but I can't go all the way with you, Jesus. And he said he went away disappointed. There's too many people walking out of church too many times disappointed because they have not done totally what God asked them to do. I hate disappointment, don't y'all? But we've done it. There's somebody, I don't know who God sends messages to. I don't name them, I just preach them. But I guarantee you, if you'll weigh it out in your mind, think, I've left disappointed before because I didn't complete what God asked me to do. I might have got down to the river. I might have went under one or two or three times, four or five times. I might have even got down six times, but I never made that final move that God asked me to make. One didn't mean nothing. Two didn't mean nothing. Three didn't mean nothing. Four or five or six didn't mean nothing except getting to the point God said that last time. Total commitment. Let's have a verse of song. Christian, y'all come. Bruce and Talitha. I believe God. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think God's got an altar call going on this morning. You know, I'm not going to have to do it because God, I believe, has already touched somebody's heart, spoke to them, asking them to finalize the job. Get it done. You know, finalize the job, whatever it might be, whatever the need is in your life. That's what I got. Jesus healed, Matthew 8 and 17. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to pray about something, you come pray about it. Or if you need to just stand where you're at, right in your place, and say, I want to make this final commitment to God. I've went nearly all the way, and today I'm going to make it final. I'm going all the way with God. I'm selling out. I'm making a commitment, and then see what God can do with your life and what He can change. He'll do it for salvation. He'll do it for physical healing. He'll do it for spiritual healing. We're not going to limit God what He can do. He can do it about if it's church membership, what you need to do. I don't know, but God spoke to your heart. I know that God spoke and touched somebody, and I'm not going to delay it. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Maybe you just need to be the one that said, I'm moving today. This is it. Let's sing this merciful song. Sing grace, how sweet the sound that sings. Amen. Yeah, it's your day. It's your day. Just a minute, Christian. We're going to do one more verse just in a minute, but I'm praying right now. You know, you've had time to talk this over with God. It don't take Him long to give you the answer. He'll not delay. God will give you the answer. Don't leave here disappointed. Don't go away disappointed like the young man did that we read about. I don't know if he ever made it right with God or not. There's no evidence of it. We don't have any written word. That's the last we ever heard from him. As far as I know, he's burning in hell right now. Because he didn't seek and do that final thing God asked him to do. Whatever it is in your life, let's make it final today. Don't go away disappointed. Go away shouting hallelujah. You know, just praising God. We'll do one more verse. We won't extend it after that. It's your turn. Come on. Great day in the Lord. I guess I'll go down this way in a minute out this door, and I guess I'll go a little bit disappointed. But I've been there before. This is not the first message I've preached that God sent and nobody obeyed and listened. And I can't read your hearts and mine. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. And I went away disappointed before. But most likely I'll be over this in the next hour or two, and I'll be back 6 o'clock tonight, and I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ again, because there's no place in life to quit. There's no place to give up on God. I'm going to go that 7th time, praise the Lord, and see what happens tonight. But it's not over. It's not finished. As you leave here and go to your houses, a lot of times God puts something in our hearts and minds that when I was saved, I got under conviction on Sunday and didn't get saved on Wednesday. It took a day or two to work on me because I was tough, you know. I was ignorant. God spoke and I heard Him, but I didn't respond at that time. But I'm going to pray that this don't leave you, that it'll go home with you and dwell on your mind. I just can't be satisfied in the fact that God missed in sending this message, that somebody needs to make that final commitment and say, I'm with you all the way. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To be with Jesus all the way. Not partial, not part-time, but all the way. Okay? Anybody got anything they want to say before we go? Anybody? Amen. Prayer request in the back. So let's pray for that name. Anything else? Good to be here, right? Amen. Amen. Brother Jerry, how about dismiss us in prayer, please?